Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing this morning? Are we excited to be in the house of God? All right, if you would, you can just stand and come forward, or stand and stay in your seats, but we're just going to go into a time of worship. Who's ready to go to the next level in your praise this morning? Just lay everything aside and go to the next level. Let's go.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Jesus. And you've been so good, you've been so good. I thank you, Lord, I thank you. My heart is full, my heart is full. I love you, Lord, I love you. You've been so good, you've been so good. I thank you, Lord, I thank you. My heart is full, my heart is full. I love you, Lord, I love you. You've been so good, you've been so good. I thank you, Lord, I thank you. My heart is full, my heart is full. I love you, Lord, I love you. You've been so good, you've been so good. I thank you, Lord, I thank you. My heart is full, my heart is full. I love you, Lord, I love you. And thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, my soul cries hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And you've been so good, you've been so good. I thank you, Lord, I thank you. My heart is full, my heart is full. I love you, Lord, I love you. You've been so good, you've been so good. I thank you, Lord, I thank you. My heart is full, my heart is full. I love you, Lord.
Overcome by your presence. I need
sweep me away. Sweep me away with you. Oh, oh, oh. Sweep me away. Oh, oh, oh. Sweep.
Life has gotten, you know how chaotic things have become. But Jesus, I pray that you bring us back to that first day we accepted you as our Savior. How you shifted us and changed us and made us new people inside. Lord, our heart was desperate for you as we called out and you met us and you changed us. I pray, God, that we never lose sight of the real reason we need you. We need you, Jesus. Everything on this planet disappears, but we need you. Put within us, God, a burden and a passion that we will run after you with all of our hearts. And God, we will truly be desperate for you. Won't be just words, it won't be just a song. God, there'll be an ache. We ask that you put an ache in us. I want more. I want more. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. God, when we know when we have that in order, the rest of life has to come into order. So Lord, we ask that you forgive us for anything that we placed above that. God, we make the declaration in simplicity. We need you. We need you with all that we have. So we realign ourselves. And we make the declaration before heaven and hell and on this planet. Jesus, we want you. Come on, talk to him now. Tell him. Tell him for you. Come on, tell him. He's waiting to hear from your voice. He's waiting to hear from your heart. Jesus, we need you. We need you, Jesus. Really, God. When everything is said and done, the only thing we have is you. Please, God, give us more of a hunger. Give us more hunger, Jesus. We want you, we want you, we want you. Hallelujah. Come on, here he comes. Jesus, more. 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 More, Jesus. We count all things dung just to know you. Nothing else matters, Jesus, on this world, on this entire planet, more than knowing you. And we make that prayer just like Paul did. I count all things lost for the excellency of knowing Jesus, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. John 17:3, that we will know you. This is eternal life, knowing you. We long for you, God. We lay everything else on the altar this morning, and especially ourselves, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. And we declare that, God, our lives are not our own. And we've got to have you with all of our getting. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You know, life gets busy, doesn't it? How many of you just had, sometimes life gets so chaotic, man, you're not sure what end is up. Anybody else out there besides me? But man, you got to come back to the one place. You got to come back to the cross every single time. Because when you come back to simplicity, chaos comes into order. It almost doesn't make sense. Sense would say, let me fix the chaos and then I'll have everything. No, no, no. You come back to Jesus, and he brings chaos into order. Remember what the anointing is for. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is to bring order. That's why we come to the public meeting. That's why we go to church. It brings public order to your spirit, public order of direction for our lives as a body. That's why the personal anointing, when you get hands laid on you, if you're sick, what happens? The anointing comes in and brings order to your physical body. Brings order to your mind. It brings order to your soul. The whole purpose for the anointing is to bring order. And see, the more we get of Jesus, the more anointing that we flow in. So if you want more sanity, turn to someone and say, I love sanity. Then you got to get more Jesus. It's the truth. You want more sanity, you've got to get more Jesus. You don't get more Jesus when you get more sanity. You get more sanity by getting more of Jesus. Amen? Because order will come as the anointing increases. And that's the exciting part. Doesn't make sense. Turn to someone's head. Just don't make no sense at all. That's right. Because we walk not by flesh, but we walk by the Spirit. Amen? When you understand the things of the Spirit, it supersedes the things of the flesh. That's the goal. We got to live. Walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Sometimes the lust of the flesh is simple. Sometimes it's just anti-God. You know, this week, and you don't mind me babbling a few minutes. This week, I've been getting into Jesus in the boat. Some of you saw me post that on Facebook. It was amazing that as this horrific storm came that was so powerful, it even made professional fishermen go nuts. I mean, they were freaking out. Do you realize what the professional fishermen did? They went to the sleeping carpenter. Does that make sense? What are you going to go to a carpenter for when your ship is getting ready to sink? And they said, Lord, help us. Do you know what the word Lord there means? Owner. See, when you understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, when you understand that you have been made into the creation of God, then you know who to go to where you need some rest. You need some sleep. You need some peace. Stop running around the boat. Come on now. Go take a nap with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go to the carpenter who's sleeping. How can he sleep? I'll tell you how he slept. Because God said you're going to the other side. You see, they got in fear because they didn't believe what God said. Remember the very first attack the enemy came against Eve with was against the word. Satan questioned God's word to Eve. And Eve opened a dialogue with the devil. The disciples, Jesus said, were going to the other side. He rested because he knew there's no need to entertain any other dialogue than what God told him. God's word is truth. The disciples are freaking out because they're no longer believing the dialogue of God. They're believing the dialogue of visual, of experiential, of circumstance. I challenge you, let's crawl up into the front of the boat. Let's take a nap. Because owner will save us. Amen? That's why you got to get more of Jesus. The more you know him, the more you trust him. The more you trust him, the more you'll take a nap with him. Can I hear an amen? Because you're running around the boat's only done one thing. Ready? Nothing. Didn't fix nothing. Stop running. Ain't going to do you any good anyways. Might as well learn how to take a nap. God's good. Amen? On your way back to your chair, can you welcome five or six folks and tell them, I got Jesus.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. It's time to head back to your seats and get ready for this morning's announcements.
Hey, HisTap peeps, listen, we have Next Steps classes happening every single week. Every Tuesday night, 7 p.m., Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., and Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here at the Horseheads campus. We're also holding them on Thursday nights up in Ithaca at 6 p.m. So make sure you join a Next Steps class.
Dude, you're on a group set, which means you have to do a group's commercial.
Oh my, wow. Okay, here it is. 3, 2, 1. Hey, listen, family. If you have yet to connect into a group, make sure you get connected. We are a family, and we're going to go together. So make sure you come and see us at the group desk in the foyer and sign up for a group. Wow. Okay, you know what? I'm done.
Everybody, our next baptism service is April 28th. You do not want to miss it. It's going to be so powerful. Get signed up in the foyer and get your breakthrough.
My name is Pastor Michael Spencer, and this is my beautiful wife, Rhonda. We're the senior pastors of His Tabernacle Family Church.
We want to invite you and your family to our Easter weekend. Saturday, April 20th at 10 a.m. is our annual helicopter egg drop. And then on Sunday morning, 9 and 11 a.m., our production, Truth Exposed, with a kids' choir and petting zoo.
We'll see you in just a little bit.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are you? Great. See, last week I forgot to be up here and I was running and I was out of breath and it was a mess. So this week I made sure that didn't happen. But I'm so excited you're here today. Anybody excited to be in the house of God? Come on, it's such a good day. Hey, if you're one of our guests, if it's your first time, we just want to say thank you for being here. And we really value you because honestly, it can be a bit scary coming to a new place for the very first time. We want to make that a not scary, not weird, not anything other than amazing experience. If it's your first time, we're not going to embarrass you. We have a gift for you. Can you lift your hand up so we can just go ahead and bring you your gift in your seat right now? Go ahead, just kind of shoot your hand up right in the air. We have some right up in the back in the middle. Awesome. Thank you so much. Man, awesome. Thank you for being here today. We've got someone else over on this side. And we'd love to invite you over to the guest reception right after this service. We'd love to talk to you, answer any questions, just get to know you for a second. And if you're watching on live stream, thank you for being here. Please participate in the service by commenting, sharing, inviting some of your friends. I know today is going to be phenomenal because as a guy, we get to start to figure out what the heck is going on in our wives' heads. Maybe. But next week is kind of a big deal. Right? Anybody? Kind of a big deal? Kind of like Jesus' second birthday? No big deal? Kind of this thing called Easter, which is amazing. So we have invitation cards because we want to see people at church so they can hear the gospel. Yes? Amen? Anybody else? Come on. Does anybody have an unsaved friend, family member, coworker that could greatly benefit from hearing the gospel? We're going to have to be better than that, church. Come on. Yes? There we go. So look, we have invitation cards for you somewhere to be passed out in your seats. And this is such an easy way to invite people. 80% of people come to church by a friend or a family member inviting them. And Christmas and Easter, or we call Creaster attenders, we have such an influx. And you never know what one time hearing the gospel can do to somebody's heart. So man, use boldness. Go ahead and bring those invitations. Go ahead and let everybody know that you're going to save them a seat next Sunday. I'd love to see the front foyer standing room only. I'd love to see there's no parking lots. I'd love to see the police got to get called so they can help us leave this place because there's so many people coming to hear the gospel. I'd love to see that, and I know you would too, because we don't want to just be here to pacify ourselves. We want to make an impact in our region. We want to make an impact in Chemung, Steuben, Schuyler, Tompkins County. It doesn't happen from the pulpit all the time. It starts with us. It starts with all of us as a family stepping up and saying, you know what? You need to hear this message of Jesus Christ. Amen? Awesome. So we have our offering right now, and I'm just so blessed because I love talking about honoring God. Yeah? Today I want to talk about Genesis chapter 22, and we have Abraham. And a lot of us know that Abraham had a promise, and in this promise, his name was Isaac. And God challenged Abraham in Genesis chapter 2 with one of the biggest offerings you'll ever see. It wasn't a monetary one. It was literally, I want you to give me your son. I want you to take your promise that I've given you, your seed, who you're going to pass on inheritance, and I want you to bring him to this mountain that I'll show you in the land. And when you get to this mountain, I'm going to have you sacrifice him to me. And we read that and we're like, oh my gosh, that's a big deal. Can I tell you, it is a big deal? That is a huge deal. And Abraham, the Bible says that he didn't think about it. He didn't wait on it. He woke up in the morning and he left. And he brought all the supplies. He brought everything he needed. He intended to be obedient to God no matter how big, how scary, how much the sacrifice would cost. Hebrews chapter 11 lets us in on it, and it says that Abraham knew that even if he had to sacrifice his son, that God would raise him up. Because see, what we sacrifice, God will always raise up. But it's powerful because he gets to the bottom of this mountain, and he looks, and he had some servants with him and a donkey, and he says, you guys stay here. Me and the boy are going to go up to worship in return. Because really, giving is an act of worship, right? Because it's obedience. I heard one author, he said it like this. He said, the donkey is a very interesting part of the story because the donkey in Hebrew culture, it often would represent materialism. It's great because what he was doing was he was leaving materialism behind to go make the ultimate sacrifice. He was leaving behind what would represent everything else to give what was most important to him. And really, what's most important to him, to many of us, is what we work for all week, is so we can supply, so we can provide, so we can enjoy for our families and our life. But when we recognize that I'm giving this to God, and God's the one that brings increase, it's not my job, it's not my employer, it's the Lord. It's God that's giving me these abilities, it's not me. It's God, if when I honor him, that's going to continue to bring me supply. And that's really what I want to get to today, is the fact that when we honor God above our emotions, above our feelings, above how big what it might look, he's always going to honor us. Because when Abraham got to the top of this mountain, he built the altar, he tied up his son, he laid his son down, and he came back with the knife. God said, stop! And he provided something greater. And because he saw his faith and obedience, he saw his heart, he then walked into the fullness of his promise. And that's where we get the fullness of the Abrahamic covenant and all of those promises, which now we have access to, Galatians 3, 13, 14. But different story, different day. But really, I just want to encourage you. What's of value to you? We know it's what we work for all week. And we don't teach tithing and offering so we can take from you, but so the Lord can continue to give to you. Because when he can trust us with a little, he can trust us with much. When we honor him, he'll continue to honor us. And that's all our tithe is saying, God, I know I'm leaving materialism here and I'm coming to celebrate. I'm coming to give an offering. I'm coming to lay these things down in front of you. So today I'd ask you to do the same thing, to leave materialism, to leave those things to make a sacrifice and an honor to the one that's worthy of sacrifice and honor. Amen? Amen. So tithe is 10%. It's very easy. That's Bible. And when we give our tithe, we bring it to the storehouse. We bring it to the church. We bring it to our church. If you've never given today, this is the day to start. If maybe you're sitting there saying, I can't afford 10%, start somewhere today and make a plan to increase so you can be fully obedient to God. Because inside of obedience is always an acceleration from him. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we give our tithe and our offering. I'm going to have Pastor Rhonda come and do the supernatural blessing because I always screw it up and I'm teaching Growth Track.
And repeat after me from the Word of God in Deuteronomy chapter 28. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in and I am blessed going out. have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Can you turn to someone next to you and say, good morning, you look just marvelous today. You say, what are you doing, Pastor? I'm actually trying to look up a word, but our internet is so horrible in this church. Are you guys ready? Yeah. Hallelujah. No, everybody's great right here. That's the great part about video. You can go anywhere with it. I love the fact that you have such an enormous family. Enormous. But what's amazing about your family is the legacy you're building is phenomenal. Both sides of the family. Amen? And so that's the exciting part. Sadly enough, most families today don't have any order to them at all. It's very confusing. And most children, you know, they start off not in the best of modes. And this young lady is in a great position. Can you wave at yourself? As we know, dedication has nothing to do with her. It really doesn't. Aislinn is here, but she doesn't really know what's going on. Dedication is all about the family and our responsibility in dedicating Aislinn to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the story that came out of it was with Eli and Hannah. Hannah couldn't produce a man-child. And she beseeched God. She said, God, I want to be able to provide. And so the priest saw her mumble and thought she was drunk. It wasn't really nice of him. Thought she was drunk. And the Lord blessed her with a child. And she made a dedication, and that is, when he is born, I'm going to give him back to God. The greatest, most relieving thing we can do as parents is give our children back to Jesus. Because there's nobody who can take care of our kids better than God. Amen? And there's no greater opportunity we have than to lend our children to the Lord. It was time for Samuel to be given to Eli the priest. And it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I have also granted him. The word there is lent. But that's a really bad word. It actually means granted. When you get a grant, you give something not expecting it in return. The grant that's happening here is a phenomenal exchange. Because we are being given the right. Hi, baby. You're very attentive. The right to speak into her life. The right to guide her. The right to correct her. The right to teach her. But yet she's not yours. Therefore, I have also lent him, granted him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent or granted to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. And today, that's the exciting part, is that you have a phenomenal family. I know you don't know that right yet, but you're going to figure that out. Yes, you will. You're going to figure that out. How blessed you are. Grammy and Grampy's on both sides love Jesus. Mommy and Daddy love Jesus. And you're going to do great things for the Lord. Amen. Imagine the power of impartation. What's happened is, as she's being granted to God, and God is saying, thank you. I'm going to entrust her in your hands to lead her and guide her properly. But man, the plan that I have for her, you can't even fathom. Sorry, I'm just not good at that. The pastor loves you from afar at this very moment. So we're going to pray. Is that fair? What I want to do too for the family is I want to challenge you. She'll only pray like you pray. She'll only have faith like you have faith. She'll only praise like you praise. If you never raise your hands, don't worry, she won't either. If she never comes to the altar, don't worry, she won't either. But if your passion for God is so evident that she sees your Bible open, she's going to ask for her little Bible that's going to have cartoons to start. And then she's going to grow and know and love Jesus with all of her heart. Amen? That's how it works. It's simple. It's not hard. So today, as you lend her to Jesus, I pray that you have this confidence that he's a greater father than you could ever be. And in that, you can trust her with him. The question is not that. The question from God's side is, can I trust her with you? And I challenge you to show her everything Jesus she could ever know. And she'll walk with God all the days of her life. Amen. Father, we thank you right now for Aislinn. God, we just declare in the name of Jesus blessing in her life. We surround her with the angels' protection. God, we declare that she's blessed going in, blessed going out. We declare, God, that this family will raise and develop a woman of God. Lord, won't need to wait till she's 18 to do ministry. She'll do ministry right out of the gate, huh? Let the little children lead them. Amen. Preaching already. God, we declare blessing over her, over this family, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You guys go. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Pastor, this Pastor Stearns, he and his family are going to be heading back. He's got to preach his service. What time do you got to preach, Pastor? At 10:30. We should make this go longer. Just to see how fast you can drive and not get a ticket. Amen. Isn't it exciting to see what God is doing in families? See, this is the year of... I can't hear you. I said, this is the year of... Next level. Next level what? Well, next level relationships. You see, many of us have never matured into new levels of relationship. And God has great things for your life, but he can't give us great things if we're not going to mature. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Turn to someone and say, we've got to grow up. Many times what's happened is because we've never been trained, we don't really know how to do. Turn to someone and say, I can only do what I know to do. That is the truth. Many of us only know what we know, and we can only live and aspire to the greatness of what we know. That's why the kingdom of God is so important, for God has not left us without the ability to understand how to be successful, not just when we get to heaven, but here on earth. How many of you know you're not in heaven yet? I hope you have figured that one out pretty quick. You're not in heaven yet. Because you're not in heaven yet, God has a plan for you to be successful here, not just in heaven. That means successful in every area of our life, spiritually, emotionally, we have physically, we have our families and our relationships. We need to aspire to our next level of relationships. Last week, we talked very quickly about the difference between a man and a woman. Turn to someone and say, there is a difference between a man and a woman. Amen. This world says there's 112 genders. I'm sorry. The Bible says there's two. Amen. Male and female. And this is an issue that we're having in today's world, and the church does not want to address it because we're afraid to offend people. I'm sorry, I'm not here to offend you, but the word will. The Bible says God has made man and woman. He did not make man to turn into a woman or a woman to turn into a man. He had the man marry the woman or be one with the woman. Not a man and a man. Not a woman and a woman. Now listen, I'm not trying to be offensive, but you need to hear what the Word of God says. Amen? The Bible says the truth shall make you free. And our world has been very confused. Our world is confused because the devil has always taken what God has made good and tries to make it evil. What God has made good is what God has joined together. Let no man put asunder. What that is that man and woman, God has placed them together, and God has said, that is good. Now, the problem with putting man and woman together is that they're very different. Amen. Not just because of genitalia, say amen. But we think different. We talked last week about how a woman thinks. A woman's brain is a lot like a wire mesh. Everything is connected. Can I hear an amen or oh my? If they're having problems at work, let me tell you, it's going to affect their home. If they're having problems with God, it's going to affect, whenever there's a problem, it is all interconnected. You see, women run on emotion. That's not bad. That's important. You need to know it's not bad to be emotional. God made you that way. Fearfully and wonderfully made. The issue is that when we allow the emotion to control us instead of us control the emotion, that we become damaging. Ladies, can I hear an amen?
Amen?
So the necessity for the ladies is making sure that we bring our emotions into order. Because the emotions that are into order will allow the life to run with fluidity rather than sparking off here and there and causing confusion and wounds and striking out. While a man thinks completely different. They think more like in compartmentalization. They have God box. They have a food box. They have a family box. They have a fun box. They have a big sex box. Don't know where the men have gone. They have a big sex box. They have a big sex box. They have a big sex box. They have a finance box, which they try to stay away from unless it's going to Dick's Sporting Goods or going to the Harley shop. Sports. I don't understand that box sometimes. I know I'm living in the Bills world, but they've lost so many times, I thought you'd already be Patriots by now. getting dangerous out here. Got a trouble box, an exercise box. It's always on the bottom, and we try to keep work as far away as possible. We also have what's called a nothing box. Men are the only creature between a man and a woman that has the ability to get into a box and to go brain dead. University of Philadelphia has actually proven that a man can get into the box and go like this with this remote control. Click, 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 click. Honey, what are you watching? Nothing. What happens is this is where a man decompresses and brings things into order into his life. It's this is moment. How many of you men went into your nothing box this week? How many women for the very first time saw your man go into a nothing box and said, now I get it? How many of you hit him? Don't raise your hand. Women don't decompress by the nothing box. Women decompress by talking. They need to talk it out. They need to share their emotions, share their feelings. All of this is the difference between a man and a woman. But there is something that's so important, and that is for us to understand that the genders are different. God created us different, but what we need to do is to make sure that we have understanding so that we can live together. Can I hear an amen or am I? Amen. Men, I want you to hear me now, and ladies, hear me well. Ladies, you will never find a man that will complete you.
Amen. Amen.
I was okay with one amen, but double is...
Listen, let me just explain, because honestly, men are not created to meet our emotional needs. And that's one of the things we think we need a man to complete us. In actuality, God didn't make a mistake when he created man and woman differently, and that a man can't meet our emotional needs. Men are not capable of meeting our emotional needs. And God didn't make a mistake when he gave us men. He knew what he was doing. You see, listen, if we could be met and made complete with a man, we would have no need for God. We wouldn't search for God. As soon as we found a man, it would be all over. So he left that spot like a homing beacon inside of us so that we would always come to God, whether we had a man or not. A man cannot complete us, only God.
Amen. And all the men said, "Woo! Thank you, Jesus."
So today we're going to hear about what women need and why this is important to you. You might think it has nothing to do with you at all, but it has everything to do with you. One of the scriptures, Psalms 133, 1 through 3, that whole passage, all three verses are about unity. And where there's unity, there's the commanded blessing. And especially in the union of marriage, we're missing out on the commanded blessing without the unity. So today, we're going to hear what a woman needs. And this will change all of your relationships and bring the commanded blessing.
Now, what's powerful about this is to recognize that God, for the ladies that are not married, God is your husband.
Amen.
Amen. He can meet your emotional needs.
And he's perfect.
And he's perfect. This is where we need to make sure that any relationship that you're in is only the cherry on top. It's not the sundae. A lot of men and a lot of ladies, they'll go search for somebody because they're lonely. If you're lonely, the problem has nothing to do with another human not being in your life. The problem is that your communication with God is not right. You see, when you're trying to find the opposite sex to meet your needs, you're immediately in trouble. This is why this message has everything and all applicability, not just to the married couples, but to the singles. Because if you're looking for someone to meet that spot in your life, you're going to be highly disappointed, especially if your man, let's talk to the ladies, especially if your man has never been trained how you think. Because they're confused themselves. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loves the church and gave up his life for her. I've got interesting news. God never told the woman to love her husband. Well, I wish she'd love me. He never told her to love you. Men, he told us to love our wives as Christ loves the church. That's why we've got to know God. Can I hear an amen? The greatest catch, ladies, you can get is a man who genuinely knows God. Because that man can actually give to you what you need because God's command will be able to be brought forth in his life. And that is, God has called the man to love the wife as Christ loves the church. But if we don't know what she needs, then there's no way for us to love her properly. You see, you can love somebody to the capacity that you yourself have been trained. And how many of you know you've been trained in a kind of a warped world? Amen. But when you are trained according to the word of God, then we have the capability of meeting the needs of the women in our lives. Now, the Bible says if we love them, then they will automatically, out of reciprocation, respect you. Amen. Now, man, I've got some hard news for us. Women are reciprocatory creatures. What does that mean? They respond. I've always hated saying this because I have to hear it myself. And that is, if you have a problem in your marriage, man, it's your fault. I know, please don't hit me. It's true. If there's a problem in our marriage, it means that we're not loving our wife properly in one of these dimensions. If we love our wife properly, according to the word of God, then we will meet her needs. And if we meet her needs because she reciprocates, she'll automatically be happy and fulfilled within your relationship. Singles, when you understand how and what you need from God, you're able to go to God and receive that to him, so that when a man comes in and horrifically fails in his best attempt to meet all of your needs, you have God that truly is going to take up all the slack. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The very first thing a woman needs, shout needs.
Needs. Oh, wait, I know what this answer is. This one, the most important thing that we need as women is for you to decide where we're going for dinner. Right, ladies? Come on.
That's just messed up. That's all I know.
Okay, but seriously, go ahead.
Every woman needs affection.
Amen.
No, man, I didn't say sex. I said affection. I remember when we first got married, I'd give her a hug. She'd say, can I have a hug? That said to me, let's have sex. For whatever reason, that's not what she meant.
No.
All the ladies, no. Because affection is different, intimacy is different from sex.
Yeah. Amen.
Men think sex. Big box. Men think sex. But women are not thinking sex. They're thinking, I need affection. Amen. I need intimacy. I need to be cherished. One of the things, men, if you want your wife to respond properly to you, amen, then you've got to show her affection, not sex.
Amen.
How am I doing?
Good.
Does this mean I can have sex later?
I'm having Pastor actually teach this portion because he is really, really, really incredible at affection and always has been. And it's one of the things that I appreciate so much. So tell us what affection looks like.
Sex! No. Affection is cherishing. Now listen, we live in a world today that is so busy, in a world that honestly, there are so many distractions that we don't take the time to cherish our most valuable possessions. I remember one time, I think it was my very first Harley Davidson, and I had the Harley out in the yard, and that's when I was really into chrome. And so I'm buffing all the chrome. I'm waxing all the chrome. And this bike is shining. I'm talking, it is shining.
He spent hours.
And she came out and she said, I wish I was a Harley Davidson. I remember the very first time I got an Apple PDA. Now, some of you don't even remember. You weren't even born yet. It's called the message pad. How many of you remember the message pad, PDAs, that they, you're just aging yourself. So I got that, and I'm learning how to use the PDA, and I'm on that for hours.
For hours.
And she came over to the couch, she said, I wish I was a PDA. Affection is something that we lose because we're not around or we're not paying attention to the most cherished things that we have. The cherished things that we have is our relationships. Listen, there's nothing that is more powerful or more important in your life than the relationships that you have in your life. I'm talking married or unmarried. You have relationships in your wife, whether it be a best friend guy or a best friend girl, or, you know, guys and girls, you're just hanging out together. Those relationships God has placed in your life, those divine connections, and we must cherish them. Cherishing a relationship takes work.
Time, hours that you're willing to dedicate to the things that are really important.
So really, after all these years, one of the things that I've actually learned is, men, are you out there? Men, are you out there? If you want more sex, you've got to learn how to be affectionate.
Amen.
Without expecting the sex.
Amen.
So how does this work? You see, when you cherish something, you actually value it. You appreciate it. It's important to you. It's wanted. It's desired. I remember I had a Harley, and I got a dent in the tank. I had it in a parking lot, and somebody opened the door of their car on the tank of my Harley Davidson. No, you got to understand, that's just bad. And I don't know how long I went without seeing it, but it was just in a strange spot. And I turned the corner one day, and I could see it. It was on the tank underneath the emblem, and I caught it. And you know what? I could never look at the bike the same because I couldn't get that out. I sold that motorcycle because of the dent in the tank. You know what it was I had cherishing. I had buffed that. I had wax that. I had F11 that. I had, you don't know what that is. That's a wax thing. I had taken time to make sure that that tank was shining. And you know what I found? It had a dent in it. And it bothered me so much. Some of us have dents in our relationships and it doesn't even bother us. The reason is because we don't cherish it. We don't have affection towards it. It's just a relationship that we have in our life. And yeah, okay, yeah, you're there. I'm here. You know, let's have supper. You know, what are you cooking? Are you doing dishes too? Listen, did you do any laundry? That's not affection. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
What is most important to you is where you show your affection. I can show you where you show your affection. Get your checkbook out. Where you put your time and your money is truly where you believe your highest affection goes. Where do you put your time and your money? Now, for me, it is important. And to me, I've learned to show affection to my wife. Can you say that out loud? I've learned. All the men, say it with me. I've learned. All men, say it out loud. I've learned how to show affection. Because it does not come normal.
Amen. So true. It's true. It's not natural, normal.
Men, if you're married, you should kiss your wife daily. What? Man, you couldn't wait to suck her face off when you were dating. You'd call her on the phone, and you'd get to her. The first thing you'd do is you'd kiss her mouth, and you'd kiss her ear, and you'd kiss her nose, and you'd stick your tongue in her mouth. That's French kissing. Oh, my. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Oh, my.
Affection.
I'm talking. And that's what happened now is you no longer are even kissing your spouse. You're no longer showing her that affection that she's important to you like she was. Listen, she was running. You were pursuing her. You caught her. Now it's over. She's not a game. Can I hear an amen? God says to love your wife. That means we've got to show affection to them. We've got to kiss them. We've got to hug them. Amen? Come here, honey. Let me hug you.
Aw, that's my favorite.
Did you hear it? Aw. Do you know what this is doing for me? Nothing.
Nothing. Everything for me.
Do you know what this is doing for her? Everything. When you're hugging her, when you've hugged your spouse long enough, she goes like this. Immediately, she goes into the safety mode. Mm-hmm. She's happy. Men, when you don't hug your wife, they say when you hug your wife for 3 minutes, it actually releases chemicals in the body that equate to antidepressants.
Hallelujah.
Let me hug you again.
That's why I'm so happy.
1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. They need to hear that you love them. We love our bikes. We love our dogs. We love creme brulee. How many of you love creme brulee? That's the will of God right there. I love creme brulee. You know, we love a lot of things. But a lot of times we don't tell the one we're supposed to tell often. You should be telling your spouse every single day, I love you.
Amen.
Listen, young men and young women who are going to get married someday, learn this now. It's going to save you a lot of trouble.
Yes.
You don't have to come to my office for marital counseling. What's that? Speed it up. Did you hear what she just said? She's up here telling me what to do. Go back to your brain. I bring my wife coffee in bed. Now it's expanded a little. We drink a 20-ounce glass of water before we do anything. So I go up and get her the glass of water. I bring it down to the bed, or if she's on the couch, I bring it to her. Then I go and make the coffee. Then after the coffee's done, then I bring her a cup of coffee. And then I leave her alone as she's spending time with her.
It takes you precious time. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love you. Do you know what that does for me? Nothing.
You see, listen, for a guy, we can use this example. You don't love gasoline, right? You're not going out grabbing a glass of gasoline and drinking it, right? You don't love gasoline, guys, in here. You don't love it like that. But you do go to the store in your car and put gas in your car. And you spend your money and your time to put that gas in the car because the car needs gasoline.
To run.
That's what we're talking about here. This stuff might not be natural, might not be something you enjoy or you like, but your car needs gasoline to run. So your wife needs affection. And you don't even think twice. You don't even bat an eye about spending money on gas or driving, taking the time to go there. Even if it's not on your way home, you're going to go out of your way to put gasoline in that car.
And listen, when the car is really cold, you still got to put gas in the car to heat it up.
Yes. Woo,
Amen or oh my.
Awesome.
Amen. So women need affection. They need to be cherished. They need to be loved. Listen, you text her and tell her that you love her. You open the car. My wife will not go into a store unless I'm opening the door for her. Ladies, you need to train your men. We are trainable creatures.
It's true.
Well, he's doing it just because the pastor told him to. Duh. You know? He'll learn. You can teach him. He is trainable.
And I do want to say, honestly, you may be sitting there thinking, you know what? My wife doesn't need this. Or you might even be a woman sitting there thinking, I don't really need this because you've shut it off.
Right.
Because you've had to. I'm telling you, this is a need and a necessity. Whether you've never done it a day in your life, if you start today, this will change everything about your relationship. It's some simple, easy, inconvenient, not natural things that you can do to make the car run and like a well-oiled machine in unity the way God intended it to. So it's never too
Amen.
Late. It's not too late.
And ladies, you might be mad at your husband when he goes to hug you, you push him away. Shame on you. He's trying to learn, trying to grow.
Yes. So if it's the first time and he says, I love you, or he goes to hug you, please don't stop him and say, oh, you're just doing it because pastor said so. Ladies, let him do it. Celebrate him. Say thank you. Be blessed by it. He's taking the lead role like he should.
The next thing, I'll remind you, affection is what a woman needs, not what she wants. It's a need. If she doesn't have it, the car does not run. Your relationship will be staggered. Your relationship will be wounded if you do not show her affection. And I know it's not normal. It's not normal for me. I didn't grow up in a house that was very affectionate. But I want you to recognize my mom loved me. But my dad wasn't, you know, he didn't run around and tell me I love you. He didn't tell me he was proud of me. I didn't grow up in a home where there was a lot of praise, where there was a lot of affection. But you can change that. Can I hear an amen?
Yeah, amen.
Listen, moms and dads, what you become is what your children will do. If you don't learn this, then your kids won't learn this. And then you're wondering why your kids are divorced. Amen.
Amen.
The next thing a woman needs is safety and security. It's not about money.
Amen.
It's not about money in the bank. A woman will live in a small apartment if she knows she's safe in her husband's arms.
Amen.
If she knows he's there to protect her. A woman needs to feel safe and secure. That's why when you hug them and they give that outward breath, that to them is saying, I'm safe. I feel good. I know I'm protected. I know that I'm safe with my husband, my man. You need to learn that. Husbands, your wives need to feel safety and security. The best way to provide that for them is for you to know God.
Amen.
The most attractive thing in a woman, the most secure thing for a woman is a man that loves Jesus more than he loves her.
Amen. Amen.
That's Ladies, don't miss your cue now.
The ultimate security is when you're running hard after God. Everything else can be chaotic. If I know my husband is running hard after God, that is the ultimate security, safety and security. So guys, that's what we need. We need you to have a relationship with God that provides us the safety, security, and stability that we absolutely need.
We've been taught the macho, macho, macho man. I want to be a macho man. That's not bad. That's pretty good.
That's very old.
You feel more macho if you don't serve God. Well, you know, I don't want to be seen as weak. No, 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 no. If you're with all the other men swimming the same direction they are, you are weak.
That's
it
right.
takes a strong man to be different.
Yeah. Amen.
And when your wife knows that you love God and you're after God, you are so attractive to your man. Have you ever seen a man with a beautiful woman, but yet he's quite homely? Listen, I didn't say us. this one guy, he was homely, and this real pretty girl, man, she was like, I love him. I'm going to marry him. And I'm thinking in my head, what? You could get so, I mean, your kids aren't going to be as cute as they could be. You know, I'm just looking, I'm saying, you know, there's something wrong here. And she said, later on, she said, I love the way he prays.
Stop telling our story, honey.
That's not true. Go to your room. Are you done?
But seriously, the most attractive thing on a man, it actually is the very thing that attracted me to my husband, was Jesus inside of him. It is the most attractive thing. So guys, if you are single, here's a tip. Run hard after God and you will become the most attractive man in the area.
Now let me tell you what happened was that same couple, they did get married. And he walked away from God. Actually, he was doing some sin stuff that was secret. And his wife lost interest and actually found another man. And they no longer are married. What was most attractive became lost when he stopped loving God the way he was supposed to. Your wife will feel absolutely safe the more you know God. The closer you are to Jesus, the more attractive you will be to her life. And you will be able to bring safety and security because God by the Holy Spirit will direct you how to bring safety and security to your marriage. Now, ladies, am I lying or am I telling the truth?
You're telling the truth. Amen.
Come on, men.
Well, you know, I'm just, I'm cool.
I'm sorry. You can be cool to all the guys, but you don't sleep with them. Hopefully.
Amen.
That's a whole nother service. This is where you and I need to understand clearly how God's kingdom works and how God created a woman, created a man. We are different, but yet we complement each other. Honey, what's the last thing a woman needs?
A woman needs communication. Amen.
I just want you to look at the time.
Yes, yeah, since Pastor took 30 minutes, he just told me to look at the time. A woman needs communication, but let me give you ladies a tip on communication. Guys, you do have to make some time, but I'll teach you ladies how you can get the communication you need by doing the things your husband enjoys doing. You see, at first, I didn't like motorcycles. I was terrified. I don't even like a bicycle. I was terrified of riding a bicycle. So he rode bicycle. I want to be where my husband is. I want to be able to chat his ear off. So I do what he does. And I'm able to put myself in the position of undivided attention and being able to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and have the communication that I desire. If you're saying, oh, I just don't want to do those things that he does, you go ahead, you go off, and you're cutting yourself off from the very communication that you desire. So get on board with the things that your husband's doing. I cannot stand golf. I have way too short of an attention span for the sport of golf. But guess what? I don't play golf, but I will go and I will walk with my husband and I will chat his ear off while he's golfing. Maybe that's the problem with your golf game.
I'm going to get lessons.
I won't go to the lessons, so don't you go can to the listen lessons. To him. All right. But we need communication, and we can get the communication that we desire by doing the things that your husband loves to do, even if you don't necessarily love to do them. It's the same thing with that car. It's not that you love drinking gasoline, but you'll put it in because you know it's what you need to get where you are going. And we need to do that with our relationships.
You did it when you were dating. My wife told me that she would go hunting with me.
And I, listen, I do. I could not kill anything. I cannot kill an animal. It is just not in me. It's not my personality or my nature. But you will see me out in the woods hunting with my husband, doing whatever thing he wants to do. And I get in trouble when I hunt with him.
Stop talking.
I can't stop talking. That's a struggle. So communication is a need. And again, all of these things are something that you can change now. You can change
yes.
them. Men, you can open up. If you've never opened your Bible in front of your wife, open up your Bible tomorrow and sit there and read your Bible. Man, that will just melt off years of stuff. It'll melt the walls that are, it will turn them into putty. Ladies, help me. Help me. When you see your husband serving God, worshiping God, praying and reading, what does that do to your heart? You become putty in their hands. So for real though, for real. So the things women need affect your life. It matters. It matters to your daughters. It matters
yes.
to your sisters. It matters to your mothers, and it matters to your wife. Let's start recognizing the actual needs of women. Because if my husband has, or if I have a scratch, since we're talking about women, a scratch on my back over here, and he's scratching over here, no, scratch on the wrong spot, then he's not meeting the need. Today, we heard what the needs are. And these are basic needs. You might not feel like they're the needs, but they are the needs. And in a healthy, whole relationship, these are the needs. And you can start making the changes for healing in your next level. Let's let the Christian relationships be next level relationships
Amen.
In this house. Amen. That's why we're spending time on this, so we can take our relationships to the next level. No matter where your relationships are today, they can be changed by just doing a couple of these things. So really quickly, we got to go fast now.
Yeah.
How to destroy your woman. So here's some quick tips on how to destroy. So you want to omit these from what you're doing. Since a woman feels intimate when you are communicating, to ignore her is to say you do not love her or cherish her as a person. You can value her. No, you can value things more than her. The Harley, the iPad, those things. When you put your money, where you put your money is where you have value. Is she more important than the things we have or the things we do? You know what's awesome? Just cancel that night with the guys and come home and show up. Just once, not every night, not every time, just once. Show her that you value her more than, and we could do vice versa, ladies, same thing.
Trust being broken is the next one. Gentlemen, I don't know if you realize it or not, but having another woman doesn't mean you have another woman. It's something in front of your wife or lady that is more important than her. I know people who have addiction problems. The woman actually feels the same as if he was cheating because they love the addiction more than they love them.
Amen.
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 Also, sports, activities. If you love work more than you love your, if you're at work more than you even spend time with your spouse, well, you know what? Then there could be an issue. If you would rather work, and my wife said to me once, why don't you go be with your church people? Because I was spending so much time working in the kingdom, but not spending time at home. Another way to destroy your relationship is to make them feel worthless. You are not allowed to talk down to them.
Amen, amen.
God created them out of a rib on your side, not out of your foot. Amen.
Amen.
And another one is not allowing your wife to communicate her feelings. It does confuse us.
And you don't have to understand, and you don't have to fix it, remember. Just let us talk. I remember one time I sat him down. I had something that was really just bothering me. It was causing friction. And I sat him down, and I said, now listen, I just want you to hear me.
She didn't say it like that. She didn't say it like that.
See, perception is everything.
No, I know the perception. I was under the other side of the vocal cords.
I didn't want him to talk. I did not want a response. And I did not want him trying to fix it. I just wanted to communicate.
So let me tell you the way it really happened. She grabbed a chair. She brought it over. She placed it in the middle of the living room. She said, now shut up and sit down. And I don't want to hear a word out of your mouth. Don't say anything until I'm done.
That doesn't sound like me.
So I sat down in the middle of that living room, and she starts telling me all how bad our relationship is. We have no relationship. We don't love each other anymore. What happened to our relationship? I'm sitting there going, I didn't even know there was a problem.
Usually the case.
And then it's over. And I went, she goes, I feel so much better. I'm bleeding. I'm dying now. I don't even know what just happened. But she's all right. It's all that matters.
And it was gone. It was done. All right, so communication and then?
No affection.
Showing no affection. Those are ways to destroy your wife.
I'll end with this. I got a minute and 30 seconds. If you go to the doctors, he gives you a prescription. You can't even read the prescription. In fact, you don't even know what it is, only what level of results you're going to get from it. Correct? In fact, if you actually read what the side effects were, you probably wouldn't take it. But you don't care. He wrote a script, you go to the pharmacy, you pay your money, and you start taking it religiously.
Yep.
Because you want to feel better. If you don't do these, you won't feel any better in your relationships.
Amen. Amen.
Scripts if you want, I'll charge you. So today, that is one of the most important things. Now, next week is Easter, but the week after, we're going to cover what men need, not want, need.
Oh, fun? Fun. You need fun? I need fun, too. That's what I saw. Fun.
I like it about your head to me. I know this is a very unique style of ministry, but we don't do this often. For those who are our guests, very rarely do we do this. Mainly it's just preaching. But you know, the anointing has been released to bring order into your families and into your relationships. And in that, your greatest relationship is Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, this is the number one place to start. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I want you to know and have a relationship with Jesus that will change you. And so today, I'm going to just take a second here. If you need Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you want Jesus to be the one in your life that makes you whole, and that other person will be the cherry on top. If you want Jesus in your life this morning, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. He's going to wash your sins away. You're going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you die today, you're going to go to heaven. Is there anyone in the room this morning that needs Jesus Christ as their Savior? Not going to wait long. Five. Come on, get your hand up. Four. Three. One. Let's all stand. Father, I just pray over the relationships of His Tabernacle Family Church. Those watching by live stream. Lord, I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Lord, we know the enemy's assignment is to destroy what you called good. And that is relationships. We come against the assignment of the devil in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, that today an unveiling, an apocalypse was happening in our lives as you were teaching us what a woman needs. God, I thank you that we have the ability as men to meet their needs. But God, that you are the only one that can meet all of our needs. So Jesus, we fix our eyes on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we declare, God, that marriages will be healed. Marriages will be whole. God, that broken relationships can be restored. Even those that have been divorced can be restored to each other. Lord, I thank you that you can do all things and that you love family. And we thank you for the privilege of being your family this morning and for you teaching us how to have healthy relationships. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said,
amen.
I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. If you need prayer, maybe you're broken inside. You need your relationship healed. Maybe your relationship with God. The prayer team's here to minister to you, love on you, build you, and encourage you. Don't forget, fill your role. Can I have somebody out there handing out invitations? We have 1,000 of them or more. We need them all to go out to your friends so you can bring them all next week. Fill your role.